News out of Green Bay is that BJ Raji, TJ Lang, and Nick Perry have all avoided major injury. But might they miss at least some amount of time? We'll take a look at the replacements, and we'll have our usual Wednesday interview with Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're taking one last look back at the win over the St. Louis Rams and then starting to look ahead to the San Diego Chargers. Also taking a look at news coming out of 1265 Lombardi Avenue, updates on a couple injured players. We'll have that for you in a moment. We're kicking off today's show with an interview with Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com, as we do here every Wednesday on the show. Pre-recorded interview today, but fantastic analysis from Nathan Yonke as always. Tune in, folks, and listen in. Right now, we're joined by Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com following a Packers victory over the St. Louis Rams this past weekend. Nathan, how you doing today?
Hey, Brian, I'm doing well. How about you?
Very good, as usual. We're glad to have you on the show. Nathan, I'm kind of wondering about this Packers defense and the chicken or the egg theory with their secondary in particular. Did the Packers secondary play well this past week? Or did they play well because they had a fierce pass rush in front of them?
Well, there were certainly a few plays where the pass rush influenced the coverage doing well, but I think the coverage on its own had a good game as well. More often than not, the Packers were able to get pressure, but on the plays the Packers weren't able to get pressure, that was on 14 dropbacks, and the Rams only completed six of those 14 passes, so below 50% completion percentage. Even when the pass rush wasn't able to affect falls. Two of the interceptions also came on those 14 plays, so while the pass rush certainly helped on a number of plays, even when they didn't, the coverage did a great job in this one.
Yes, a very good job by the Packers secondary. One player in particular who I think we can say had a good game regardless of the pass rush or not, rookie Quinton Rollins. Can you kind of discuss his performance and how it came in a part-time role?
Sure, he got a little bit more playing time this one, playing roughly a third of the snaps in the nickel defense. And certainly those two interceptions he had were great plays by him. Outside of that, he had a tackle for no gain in the run game, so he was able to influence the Packers there. On the downside, he did allow really late in the game a 68-yard catch to Stedman Bailey, which hurt his grade at Pro Football Focus some, but still having all of those good plays certainly outweighed that one bad one late in the game.
If we go back to the pass rush for a moment here, how is Clay Matthews stacking up to other linebackers in the NFL in terms of rushing the passer? Because he once again put a hurt on Nick Foles this past Sunday.
Sure, he definitely had probably his best pass rushing performance of the year this past Sunday. Two sacks, two hits, and two hurries in the game, which brought him to four sacks, five hits, and 11 hurries out of the year. And he's done that all on just 106 pass rushes. So on a per pass rush basis, we've given him 15 pass rushing productivity, which takes into account sacks, hits, hurries, and the number of pass rushes. And that's good for one of the best pass rushers in the league. Looking a little bit more at his grade, he hasn't graded quite as well in pass rushing compared to some of the best pass rushers, simply because a lot of the sacks and hits he's been getting, some of them are a little bit more by design. If they do an overload blitz and no one's blocking Matthews, or if someone, another pass rusher, is able to do most of the work and then Matthews is there to clean it up. He won't break quite as well on those plays. And, for example, in this last game, he had both a sack and a hit that he was completely unblocked for. But still, regardless of if it's Matthews making a good play to get the pressure or a teammate helping him or just a good play call in general, it's good to see the Packers getting a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I wonder how well he could have done if earlier in the year he was asked to rush the passer more, because I know against, I think it was the Chicago Bears, he was asked to be in coverage quite a bit and, of course, did well that game with the interception. We're talking to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com here at Railbird Central. Nathan, if we look at the other side of the football on offense, obviously Aaron Rodgers' streak without an interception came to an end on Sunday. How long has it been since he's had a performance this poor?
It actually hasn't been too long. I would say the game against Buffalo late last season, which most of us probably would prefer to forget. Rodgers on Sunday, the first interception he had was probably a bit more bad luck than a bad play on Rodgers. The ball was tipped and then caught off that tip. But then the second interception was definitely on Rodgers. Another play in the game where he threw the ball right into the defender's hands and he just ended up dropping it. So definitely a couple inaccurate throws from Rodgers, which we're not used to seeing. He did have a few nice throws to help make up for it. A couple of first downs here and there, nothing super impressive, but still a number of good plays where in that Week 15 loss to Buffalo last year, he had a couple of those bad plays similar to what we saw in this one, but he didn't have quite as much good in that game against Buffalo to make up for it, and then that ended up being a loss for the Packers.
Yeah, Rodgers didn't exactly get a ton of help from his teammates on Sunday. It was said by Rodgers himself that the Packers receivers have to do a better job of getting open. What did you see from the Packers receivers this past game?
It wasn't really, no one was impressive out of the receiving group. Randall Cobb only had one noteworthy positive play, and that was off of 40 pass plays. So you would definitely want to see your best receiver do better off that. The three wide receivers combined only about six good plays among them, and I would expect one receiver when they're having a good game to have that many good plays. So when that's divided amongst all of your receivers, that's not very good. Tight end Richard Rodgers seeing a lot more playing time recently. He did have two first downs, which was good to see, but then he also had his first drop of the season as well as a penalty. So even though he had six catches, he had a couple of bad plays to go along with it. So really this was the kind of game where the Packers really missed Jordy Nelson more than any other game so far this season.
I know the Packers run game also kind of struggled on Sunday. I know Rodgers was the leading rusher actually with 39 yards. What would you say was the cause of the struggles in the run game?
The cause was probably more to do with the Rams than the Packers. The Rams just been doing so much better against the run than any team in the NFL so far this year. But among the Packers, they really didn't try to run the ball to the left at all. No run of Eddie Lacy's ended up to the left of Sitton. So that meant a lot was on the right side of the line, which Bulaga coming back, he had the worst game of all the offensive linemen. A few times where he was stood up by the defense, a few times where he was asked to go to the second level and was beaten to the outside, and just a couple other poor blocks in there as well. So Lacy was constantly contacted early in his runs and then was rarely able to get too many yards after contact. So not a great game all around by the Packers, but I would probably say we won't see a performance like that again in the near future just because they won't be playing the Rams again until the playoffs at that off.
Hopefully Brian Bulaga also gets a little bit more healthy and a little bit more recovered better as the weeks go on as well. We talked about a lot of negatives here on the offensive side of the football, but in the interest of being a little more fair and balanced, is there any player we can kind of single out for having a good performance?
Two players that I'd like to mention. First, Josh Sitton, who had a good game in this one. He basically has a good game in every game. He's one of the best guards in the NFL and probably the best guard in pass protection this year. He has not allowed a sack or a hit this year, and only one hurry, so that's the best out of all guards. And year after year, he's been among the best pass protectors. But then another player that stood out, Josh Walker, when he came in at guard, he was also perfect in pass protection in his 20 snaps that he did that in. And then in the run game, yeah, he had a couple of poor blocks just like the rest of the line. But then he also had a couple of good blocks in there too. So definitely worth noting that he did a good job. And if the Packers need him again in the future, hopefully they can count on him again.
Yeah, not bad going against guys like Aaron Donald too. Nathan, we just saw the San Diego Chargers lose on Monday Night Football, kind of in recent memory here. But what can we kind of look forward to from this team as the Packers get ready to take them on this upcoming Sunday?
The Chargers on offense are certainly interesting. They have a lot of good receiving options. No really great ones, but just a lot of good ones. So that'll be a test for the Packers defensive backs. Worth noting, Melvin Gordon, he's been seeing an increase in playing time recently and has looked pretty good. So that's someone that Packers fans are probably familiar with that they'll have to stop. The one positive point for the Packers when facing the Chargers offense is their offensive line hasn't looked very good this year. And basically all of their starters are hurt to some extent. So, and their backups are playing even worse. At one point in the Monday night game, five of the six best offensive linemen were all out at a certain point in the game. So I don't know who all will be healthy by the time the game happens, but the Packers have faced a couple of poor offensive lines already this year. This one will probably be the worst of the group. So that we should see a lot of the Packers defensive line and outside linebackers doing well again. Then when the Packers are on offense, Chargers are on defense. The Chargers aren't quite a great defensive unit, but they do have a couple of fairly impressive players on defense. Melvin Ingram and Jerry Atuatu, they've both been doing well rushing the passer from the outside, so that'll be a test for the offensive tackles. And basically all of the players in the Chargers secondary have looked anywhere from average to good so far this year, so that'll also be a test for the Packers passing offense. And a lot of the receivers should be pretty well covered.
Aaron Rodgers got one final challenge before the Packers bye week, and we'll talk to you during the bye week after the game, Nathan. We'll wrap this Chargers game up, so we'll talk to you 7 days from now and get a recap then.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
All right, take care. Thank you to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com for joining us here on a Wednesday at Railbird Central. And thank you to you, the listener, for joining us as well this morning as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Wednesday, or, you know, over the past few days, basically, kind of recapping some of the injury information here and not going too in-depth because, I mean, these are all things that have already been reported. You probably heard and could read more about online if you wanted to know more. But the Packers suffered kind of three notable injuries in the game against the Rams this past Sunday to B.J. Raji, T.J. Lang, and Nick Perry. And to go over what happened to each one of them, B.J. Raji injured his groin, and he reportedly had an MRI. I know this was reported by several outlets, which basically showed only inflammation. So definitely kind of escaped anything there. We don't really know how much time he's going to miss. He actually kind of played through it for a little while on Sunday before at halftime exiting and then not returning. Might the Packers err on the side of caution and just simply hold him out for one game before the bye? Could possibly be the case. Almost the same situation with T.J. Lang. Gets his knee rolled up on by James Starks on a screen pass in the second quarter of the game. Doesn't return, although he too had examination and found out, again, nothing serious there. And I know T.J. Lang confirmed to ESPN.com that there was no torn ACL or anything like that. Again, we can ask ourselves, what might the Packers err on the side of caution? Just simply keep them out 1 week, and then they get, you know, basically 3 weeks in between games if they do that, between you know, this game against the Chargers and then till they return November 1st against the Denver Broncos. We wait and find out, I guess. And then the third player just reported on Tuesday evening or at late afternoon, Nick Perry out 2 to 4 weeks with an AC sprain of his shoulder. So something very similar that Randall Cobb went through, you know, when he got injured in the preseason, has kind of been limited since that time. Out 2 to 4 weeks. So almost assuredly, Nick Perry will be out the Chargers game. And then, you know, again, could he come back in time for the Broncos game? TBD, to be determined. We don't really know with any of these guys. They all escaped major injury, but they all could be dealing with injury of some sort. I mean, they all are dealing with injury of some sort. It's just a matter of how long are they going to be out. So the Packers kind of, you know, escaped the season enders with these three players. And you know, Casey Hayward kind of exited the game temporarily. Hopefully it's nothing too bad, but he was able to return. So it isn't felt that should be anything too serious there. But what I kind of wanted to do here was talk a little bit about, you can find out about the injuries anywhere. What I wanted to go a little more depth in was if these guys miss time, about their replacements on the Packers roster. And kind of going through the same order we went through the injuries, for B.J. Raji, if he's going to miss any amount of time, and maybe he might be in the best shape of any one of the three, perhaps, seeing as there was, you know, it was to his groin, there was no damage found, just inflammation. Might the Packers play him in a bit role? Possible they could do that. But if they don't, let's just assume they don't. Perhaps the Packers even better prepared this year than they were last year because I assume who would take over at the nose tackle position is the guy who did last year, and that's LaTroy Guyon. And, he's back from suspension now and looking pretty good. He improved from his debut against the 49ers to his second game against the Rams, and he's chipping in a little bit in both the run and the pass game. And he knows the nose tackle position. Not that the Packers have been playing a ton in their base 3-4 defense, but he's able to do it if the Packers go there. And even if he's not, you know, the Packers also have Mike Pinnell now, who's taking on a bigger role in his second year in the NFL. He's playing a little bit more at base end, but can also play the nose tackle position too. And either one of these guys are capable to fill in, and perhaps they can rotate them a little bit. I just think the Packers would tend to go with LaTroy Guyon there because he's played there more, you know, in the regular season. He's a little more battle-tested than Mike Pinnell. But they could both hold down the fort at the nose tackle position if need be, if Raji has to miss any amount of time. And I think that's the direction the Packers would go, along the defensive line, kind of a little bit of filling in by committee there for B.J. Raji to go along with, you know, Mike Daniels and Dayton Jones and other guys on the defensive line. And they can get away with it for a week. Raji's been definitely very good for the Packers this season. You would hate to see him miss any appreciable amount of time, any lengthy amount of time, but not looking like that's going to be the case. On the offensive line, TJ Lang, the man who replaced him in the lineup this past week, Josh Walker, kind of interesting in that he comes into the game in the second quarter. He's replaced after one series because you kind of think that very first play he was in, Rams defensive tackle Nick Fairley puts the swim move on him and gets by him, and he doesn't look all that good. And you thought that, well, maybe Packers weren't really happy with him. I think what they were doing is Don Barkley came in for the final series of the half. The Packers get the ball back with like a minute on the clock, maybe a little bit more. And basically, I think what they just did is they brought the more veteran player Barclay in just simply because he's been in there in situations where the team has run like their 2-minute offense before, and he's a little bit, you know, better equipped for that, of, you know, learning on the fly or reacting on the fly, and just knows the Packers offense perhaps a little bit better, knows how to communicate with some of the other guys on the offensive line. And so he just came in for one series, and then Walker came back for the rest of the second half and kind of looked more and more comfortable as time went on. And you really got to give him props for, you know, doing it against a Rams defensive line, going up against the likes of Aaron Donald and Nick Fairley and guys like this. And you know, Josh Walker looked good, as Nathan Yonke, you know, alluded to earlier in the show during his interview. So if the Packers got to miss some time there, I think they're in good shape with Josh Walker. I think they're in even better shape than they were last year with Lane Taylor, who's still on the roster. But obviously, even the Packers think Walker's a better option than Taylor. We'll see. Don't know how long Lane's going to be out, if at all. But if he does, if they got to get through him, through the bye with Josh Walker, so be it. I think he can hold down the fort, and probably a little bit easier, being at guard than it would be at tackle for him, where he was up and down during the preseason, Josh Walker out at the tackle position on the edge. And then finally, Nick Perry, who we almost know for sure will at least miss 1 week. Could end up missing more. The Packers been employing a rather healthy rotation at outside linebacker, so you know maybe they might not miss Nick Perry too much, because I mean Julius Peppers is already considered the starter. Clay Matthews, of course, has rotated at inside and outside linebacker, and then Mike Neal plays a lot, and Jayrone Elliott, his role has grown in his second year in the NFL, kind of like Mike Pinnell. And so all those guys are getting a lot of playing time, really, really just splitting the snaps up between them, you know, maybe not equally, but all playing a role. And then the guy who really started to see a little bit of increase in playing time after Perry went out this past week was Andy Malumba, who's kind of been a little bit of a forgotten man in the Packers defense since the start of the regular season. He got a lot of attention during the preseason for how well he played. But, with all these other guys, like, Perry and Neal and Peppers and Elliott, there hasn't been a whole lot of snaps for Andy Malumba. But he kind of got back in the rotation after Perry went out and actually made a nice tackle or two, if memory serves me correctly, against the Rams, and he could be in line for kind of a few snaps here and there on a rotational basis, probably a little bit more of a pass rusher than anything, than a run stuffer, and that was kind of what Perry provided a little bit. He's got the big defensive end body. Of course, he was a college defensive end, and he could hold up on the edge a little bit more. And you worry that maybe the Packers will miss that a little bit, but maybe that just means a little bit more playing time for another big end type body like Mike Neal, who will have to be in more running situations and things like that. So there's kind of a look at the replacements for these guys, these potential replacements, if the Packers have to go that route. One final note in the Packers news of the day, before moving on here, Packers rookie cornerback Quint Rollins was nominated for the NFL's Rookie of the Week Award on Tuesday. This is voted upon at NFL.com. So if anybody out there wants to go and help Quint Rollins secure this award, it's not determined by the NFL themselves, totally determined by fan voting, which you may argue is maybe not the best way to determine a player's worthiness, but it's the way it's done. So if you want a Packer winning an award, it's out there for you. And he, of course, we talked about him earlier in the show too. No reason to go, over it again. The two interceptions, the pick six, the return for a touchdown, a couple tackles, Quinn Rollins looking good, so congratulations to him on the nomination. We'll find out shortly if he ends up winning it or not. And that leads us into the next segment in a very brief one.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Wednesday, they return to practice. And basically, I mean, the things we've already gone through, we're waiting to see how these injured players are performing, if they're out there at practice or not. And you certainly could understand if the Packers were conservative, at least early in the week, you know, maybe they come back later, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they come back to practice. But, you know, when you're talking about Raji, Lang, Perry, Packers probably not going to take too many chances with these players. Maybe it'll be a little bit more interesting with guys like wide receiver Devontae Adams and safety Morgan Burnett, who, you know, have been dealing with these injury issues for a few weeks and maybe they're ready to return. But again, I mean, they're almost in the same category. Are the Packers going to take chances with these guys who, you know, they've already been out for a few weeks, and you know, what's one more, especially when you've already got a 5-0 record? What's one more week, you know, in the grand scheme of things? What's really one loss going to do if it comes down to it? You don't want it. You know, it's not like you want to hand the Chargers a win or anything like that. But if the Packers got to go without some of these guys who would preferably be in the lineup, preferably be out on the field, you know, then that's what they'll have to do. And maybe we'll get a better feeling for that at least on Wednesday in the world of the Green Bay Packers. And that basically kind of wraps up today's episode and what's on tap for the Packers today. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Thank you to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com for joining us on the show today, as he does, of course, every Wednesday. My call to action, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask from you. This show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. If you could give us a rating and a brief review on iTunes, we'd really appreciate it. Helps us get the word out about the show. But we'll talk to you again this upcoming Friday. We'll see you later, folks. Have a good Wednesday, and we'll see you soon. I leave you today with a song called Barker by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack, go.